Welcome back as we are in the series Acting Out, and it's out of the book of Acts. If you've been watching for any amount of time, you know I'm going to encourage you, get in a Bible reading plan. I'm doing the McShane Bible reading plan with actually a whole ton of people that are also doing it in our church, because we want to read through the Bible in a year, because something happens when you pursue God. And we're in the middle of the book of Acts. Today we're in Acts chapter 10. If we go back from Acts chapter 1, 2, up through last week, the last 2 weeks really, Acts chapter 9, we see what happens when people pursue God, when they walk in obedience, like God shows up. And so today we're looking at Acts chapter 10, and it has to do with Peter and a guy named Cornelius. And so I titled the whole thing, like the whole message, like getting the will of God, like understanding what God's calling us to, because we have a really wild situation. And it's so cool for us understanding like God's will for our life. When sometimes we can't see what God has for us, like he'll show up if we continue to show up seeking him. And that's what we see in chapter 9 of Acts. And now in Acts chapter 10, we see a non-Jew who has faith in Jesus, and he's a wealthy Roman soldier. So he's a commander. And so we're going to jump right into chapter 10. And here it is. It says, in Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, and as was everyone in his household, and he gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. So let me get this straight. So he's not a Jew, but he's devout. He's devout. That means he's not casual in his faith about Christ. In fact, all of the people in his household, not just immediate family, that would mean everyone that is in his household, which those that were like people that were helping with the house. At that time, culturally, it was very common to have servants and or slaves. I don't know if he had slaves or not. I know that everyone in his household was following the way. They were following Jesus. He was not casual about his faith. Here's what it was. He was devout. And what else does it say? He was God-fearing. In other words, he was scared to step outside of the will of God, because he knew that there was a reality that he didn't want to face outside of that will. And then he gave generously to the poor, and he prayed regularly. And I look at that and I go, wow, this is a great recipe for us having a revelation of what God is calling us to do in the next step. So I want to talk for just a moment about the general will of God and the specific will of God. So the general will of God is that we read the Bible and we obey what it says. We obey the teachings of Jesus. This is who we follow. And like, we obey it. We don't just read it and get a head knowledge and our heart is like tugged on and like, oh Lord, I want to give you my heart. We know we've given him our heart when we walk in obedience. The general will of God is for you to follow his word, to obey what Jesus has said that we should obey. The greatest commandment, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the general will of God. But then there's the specific will of God. And so here's what I want us to get is like, we know that we should be obedient to what Jesus has said. Get that straight. Live that out. But then there's that specific will of God. Like, Lord, what do you have for me in this next season? Like, I'm following your word. I'm trusting you. I'm in healthy relationship with other encouraging believers. I'm encouraging other believers. I'm obedient to your word. But there are those moments that you know, what is the next step? It's the perfect will of God is you to become like Jesus and obey this word. Then there's the permissive will of God. What is God calling you to in your life? And so we have this guy who's devout. He loves the Lord. His whole family is serving him. That he's not just devout, but he's God-fearing. That means he's scared to step outside of the perfect will of God and obedience to his word. He's generous. He gives. These are marks of people who ultimately will know the specific will of God in their life. Like, he's devout, he fears the Lord, he gives, he's generous with his money, with his time, and he prays. This is a formula for us. Like, I want to know what God's will for my life is. Okay, don't be casual about your faith. Fear the Lord. That means be really scared to step outside of his will, because you know that just as God is real, so is the enemy. He wants to bring death, devastation, and destruction. You know, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. I've come that you might have life. We should have fear of the Lord, that when we step outside of his will, things don't go well. And Jesus told us why. I'm not casual about my faith. I'm devout, that I fear the Lord, that I'm generous with my time, generous with my money. Those are big indicators. Like, I need to know the will of the Lord. Are you generous? Do you give financially? Do you give of your time? Do you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and you be inconvenienced? And then do you pray? Do you pray? Like, what is your prayer life like? When we get those four things, like devout in my faith. Listen, I'm devout in my faith. I fear the Lord, I'm generous, and I pray. You can know this. It's only a matter of time before God clearly speaks to you about what the next step is. So if you're saying, Lord, what is your will? Start there. Start with like devout faith, not casual. Start with, I don't want to step outside of God's will. Start with, man, I am giving financially. I'm tithing. I'm giving. I'm giving of my time. I'm giving of my convenience. And then pray, like pray, Lord, I want to know more of you. When you do those four things, it is only a matter of time before God shows you the next step of his specific will for you. And this Roman officer, he's an officer. He's the oppressor. It's really interesting in that society. He's the enforcer for the Romans that are occupying, well, Caesarea is on the coast, but they're occupying the land of Israel. And it says, then after that, verse 3, one afternoon about 3 o'clock, he had a vision. He had a vision. You want to see what God has for you? Do the same things that Cornelius did. He had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. So he has this vision. There's an angel coming towards him. Listen, I've never had an angelic visitation. I've never had a vision of an angel, but I've definitely had some God dreams. And I've also had very clear times when God spoke to me. And I remember when we were living south of town and I felt like the Lord was calling us out of where we were into a new neighborhood right there in Oak Park. And we had a great home south of town, loved it. It was really good, but I just knew that the Lord was at work. And I remember standing in the middle of the street right there on 22nd Street and going, Lord, like I'm sure people that were watching, I'm sure there were people watching, thought I was crazy. I like arms wide, legs spread, like, Lord, you got to speak to me about what you want me to do. I needed to know the will of the Lord. And very clearly, he spoke to me. This is it. And there was just such peace. And I knew that we were supposed to buy that home, to move and to buy that home. And I'm so grateful. That home was such a blessing to us. And I just learned, like, that would have never happened if I had casual faith. That would have never happened if I wasn't, like, afraid to step outside of God's plan. Like, I wanted to walk in his purpose. Never would have happened if I wasn't generous and faithful to give. It never would have happened if I hadn't prayed. So do those things. And now Cornelius has this great vision. Here's my point. When you do those things, you'll get a vision from the Lord. It may not be an angel. It may not be you standing spread eagle in the middle of a street, but God will speak to you. And this is what he shows Cornelius. In the vision, he saw an angel coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Just remember, God hears your prayers and your offerings are to him. Now, send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He's a tanner he's staying with Simon, a tanner who lives near the shore. And as soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa, which is south of Caesarea along the coast as well. Interestingly enough, it's where Jonah and the whale fame, that's where he disobeyed the Lord. But now we see Cornelius having this amazing vision because he had laid the groundwork in prayer and generosity, being devout and God-fearing. And God shows up and says, hey, go get Peter. Go get Peter. Interestingly enough, what Cornelius doesn't know, well, he doesn't know who Peter is. He just follows blindly. Can I just say, we are called to follow blindly when God speaks to us, and it may seem crazy, but we're called to follow blindly and trust him. You got to know his voice, which is why it's so important you're devout. You trust him. Cornelius sends for Peter, whom he doesn't know, sends all these messengers off, tells him, I had this vision. What is God showing you? What's he speaking to you? And are you stepping out in faith? It's one thing to have a vision. It's another to step out. This man, Cornelius, this Roman commander, sent people. Like, he trusted God enough to send, like, to spend time and money to obey. Like, do I do that? Like, if I'm not willing to step out in faith, why would God ever speak to me? I hope I'm making sense here. But here's what he doesn't know. Just as God says, hey, you're going to go get this man in Joppa named Peter. What Cornelius doesn't know is that Peter is having his own vision. And so I'm just going to read a portion. Actually, I'm just going to tell you what it is. You can read it. It's verses 9 through 16. Peter's hungry. Like, physically hungry. Like, he's about to, there's a meal that's being prepared. He probably smells it. And then he has this vision of his own. And it's a vision that gets repeated three times. In this vision, the Lord, there's this sheet that comes down, and it's full of all types of animals, reptiles, birds. And God says, speaks to him and says, Peter, get up, go kill them, go eat them. And so Peter, who's a follower of Jesus, you know the Gospels, Peter's a central figure. He's a follower of Jesus. He's actually kind of the leader of the church now, the first church. And you can go back and look at past messages about that. So Peter sees this sheet come down with all sorts of, all kinds of animals, reptiles, and birds. And God speaks to him, Peter, get up, go kill them and eat them. Now, I'm sure Peter's probably thinking, like, this is just like some sort of hunger dream because he's in a trance. He's kind of this weird vision. And he's like, Lord, I can't do that because we can't eat reptiles. You know that, Lord. We can't eat reptiles. And there's some unclean birds and some unclean animals. I've never eaten anything unclean. He's following Jewish dietary law because he was a follower of Jesus, but he was also Jewish. And so he wasn't gonna eat the unclean things that the Lord said don't eat in the Old Testament. And so he's kind of freaked out, but the vision repeats itself three times. And so just as Cornelius had a vision, so Peter has a vision, and he comes out of the vision. It says in verse 17, Peter was perplexed. What could the vision mean? So as soon as he comes out of this vision, it says, just then the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house standing outside of the gate. They asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. And so Peter comes out of this vision like, man, I'm supposed to eat these unclean things? Three times it happens. And three times the Lord says, eat, eat, eat. And Peter's like, I can't eat, they're unclean. And bam, he wakes up out of the vision. And then at the door, hey, we're here for Simon Peter. I want you to get the timing because it's big. He's in a trance. The vision then, whoa, 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 wow, what was that? That was a crazy vision. Hey, Peter, there's some guys here for you. It's Cornelius. This is messengers. And they say, hey, we're sent by Cornelius. He's a Roman officer, but he loves the Lord. He's faithful to God. He loves God. Like, he wants you to come. He had a vision from an angel. Says, go. And so Peter, just coming out of this trance, God's timing's pretty cool. He's like, all right, I'll go. And then he shows up at Cornelius's house. It says, they arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for them, and he called together all his relatives and close friends. And as Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshiped him. And Peter pulls him up, says, stand up. I'm just a human being like you. They talked together and they went inside, and a lot of people were assembled there. I'm sort of paraphrasing for time. Peter told them, you know, it's against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home. This is key. This is huge. I want you to understand this, that Jews did not break the Old Testament law, the Levitical law on dietary law. That was like a huge no-no, massive. They also were not allowed to enter a non-Jewish person's home. This is a huge faux pas. This is a cultural, massive taboo for Jews. You can't do this. And Peter, though he's following Jesus, he's culturally a Jew. Then he had that vision, eat the unclean. And now he's stepping for the first time in his life into a non-Jewish person's home. And he says, you know, it's against our law for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this. or to associate with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. So I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Why'd you send me? Why'd you send for me? Do you see how big this is? Like, Lord, I want to know your will. Okay. An on fire faith, God-fearing, generous, praying. And God may rock your world. Because part of God, of understanding and getting God's will for your life, and here's the second thing, it's to be able to see people clearly. There are no untouchables. There are no people that are outside of God's scope of racking and wrecking their world and bringing them to faith in Jesus. And so Peter's like, hey, man, I want you to know this is not the norm. Like, and he's probably thinking to himself, that crazy vision I had about those unclean animals and God told me to eat them. And now I'm breaking the law and going into a non-Jewish person's home, into a Gentile home. I'm not even supposed to be here. And he tells Cornelius, I'm not even supposed to be here. This doesn't happen. What is the exact wording? He says, it's against our law for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. He's telling him, bro, this is crazy. But God, because God called him to people that nobody else was called to. Do we see people clearly? This is God's heart, that we should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. What kind of judgment do I level against other people? Oh, well, you know, they're kind of, or, oh, yeah, they're all, oh, man, they're totally jacked up. Can you believe junkie? Slut. I mean, we can go on. God wants to use us to reach those very people that others use slurs about. That's who God's called us to. And if we'll listen to his voice, if we'll live a life that's worthy of our calling, he'll call out to us. And here's what he wants us to see. He wants us to see people clearly. And that our purpose is people. God, what's my will? It's people. It always has been. Jesus said the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And he laid down his life for you at your worst. We are called to embrace those who are at their worst. This is part of God's will for us. And this was the specific will in this moment for Cornelius that every other Jewish person, even the followers of Jesus, hesitated to reach out to because they allowed the culture around them to define who was acceptable and who was unacceptable. But that's not the way of Jesus. Jesus reached out to the Samaritan woman at the well. He reached out to the Samaritan woman whose child that she begged that he would heal. And he did. He brought life to both of those women. He spoke to women and non-Jewish women. Huge. But Peter was still wrapped up in the culture. And then he says, I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. I came without objection. Where's God calling you to? Because let me just remind you, like we think like, oh, God's calling me to start a ministry. No. The ministry is the byproduct of the ability that he's given us to see people clearly and that our focus is always reaching people with the truth that God loves them and knows them and nobody is beyond redemption. The Satanist who said in his heart, Jesus, God may have a specific call for those that are dealing like with those in such darkness that they're suicidal. Or those who are wrapped up in this real huge identity struggle, even about the core of who they are. And it manifests in sexuality, or it manifests in workaholism, or it manifests in hobbies. And like, no, God's calling us to all of the worst of the worst and the highest of the high. This man was the highest of the high in Israel. He's one of the top commanders. And yet God saw fit to remind Peter, hey, I've got a heart for him too. Our purpose is people. Look at verse 34. Peter says, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of the good news for the people of Israel. There's peace with God through Jesus Christ, who's Lord of all. God shows no favoritism. Do you? Do you have a heart for the lowest of the low? The person walking down the street carrying a Walmart bag, dirty clothes, muttering to themselves, clearly unkept, unshaven, probably very mentally ill or demonized even. Do you have a heart for that person? Are you able to see that God shows no favorites? And he's called us to reach those who say they are the top of the social ladder and the bottom. All nations, all people. How do I understand God's will within the scope of from the highest of the high to the lowest of the low? Right to back to the very first description of Cornelius, which also marked Peter's life. Devout faith, God-fearing, generous, and praying. If you do those four things, if you live those four things out, you'll know the calling and the will that God has for your life. And it may not be what you think. It may be something totally different, and it may be just for a moment rather than for a ministry. Because in reality, God's ministry that he has for us is just moments. Do you see people clearly? Do you expect the unexpected? Something crazy happens. He begins to preach Jesus, Peter does, to that room full of all of Cornelius's friends and families that are not Jewish at all, no one. None of them are Jews. And Peter's got to be pretty heartily freaked out. But you see that trance that he was in and that vision that he had and then that knock at the door. He saw God's hand at work and he preaches Jesus. And it says this, that in verse 44, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who were listening to the message. Now, Peter's going back to Acts chapter 1 and 2. He was there. And he remembers clearly the rushing wind, the tongues of fire above everybody's heads, them speaking in different languages that were glorifying Jesus. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening. The Jewish believers who came with Peter, they were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Peter asked, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they've received the Holy Spirit just as we did? Peter saw that there was no difference between the Gentiles and the Jews and that God had a heart for all people. He trusted God in the moment, and in the end, it became his ministry to go and preach the truth of Jesus to all people. God, what's my will? Like, what's your will for my life? Be devout, God-fearing, generous, person of prayer. And let your ministry be the moment. And expect the unexpected, and God will do huge things in you. So, listen, this is kind of an odd and off message for me, but it's huge because it's a message. As we read chapter 10, it was a defining moment. In Christianity and followers of Jesus. They didn't even say Christianity. We're followers of the way of Jesus. He's the Messiah. It was a defining moment because it went from being a Jewish-focused faith to an understanding that God had a heart for the whole world. Whole world. And God wants you to reach the greatest, the Corneliuses, that was a man of respect and high, high up on the social ladder. Those down here as well. How do we reach them all? We let our ministry be a moment where we're led by the Spirit of God. So I pray that for you. And maybe you need a refreshing. I'm going to pray that. Father, I just pray that there's just a refreshing, that we can hear your voice, that we can trust you as we live devoted, a faith-filled life where we trust you and we give of ourselves. Lord, I pray that you show us those ministry moments by the leading of your Spirit. And that just like you used Peter to step out into the unfamiliar and the unexpected and to rock the world, you use us to do the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. God bless.